Bienvenidos to our latest edition of Corazón Bilingüe. Join us as we explore the dynamics of language, culture, and the art of poetry. I'm your host, Brenda Nettles Rojas. Con este programa, exploramos la dinámica del lenguaje, la cultura y la creación poética, sometimes in English y a veces en español. Our program fluctuates between English and Spanish. Joining us today is Rosy Lima Padilla, a poet and linguist from here in the Rio Grande Valley. Thank you for joining us, Rosy.
Thank you so much for having me, Brenda.
Well, today we're going to start by listening to your poem, or a translation of your poem. The original is Las Dos Lenguas, but we're going to listen to the English first, The Two Tongues.
That's right. This poem is titled Two Tongues. My language is a wall, raised to be endless, whose shadow falls over my shadow. It is a wall of bones, of deep joints, from where you can see the extensions of my reality, hoping to see you disarmed. But you don't see the wall, or the bones, or the desert. Foreign to you are the gloomy birds, those who emerge deep from my language. To you, nothing exists but your tongue, that cold creature that seizes every territory. A bitter tongue that knows no other beginning than its own ancestry. Only your venomous tongue exists in your eyes, that serpent tongue cornering me since the day it arrived to my land and began to build on my body this suffocating wall. Your tongue is a snake, scouting the streets, laws, schools, hunting my tongue to sever it, to rip from the root the only piece of me that sprouts with my mother's sweet song. Serpentine, it haunts my wandering tongue, my tongue of basic necessities, my submissive tongue that only seeks a humble truce. You seek my tongue to tear it out, to place it next to all the other tongues you've torn out. My brothers no longer understand my songs. They don't recognize the hand that held their hand for centuries, and I cannot cry out to them, or I will show my naked and vulnerable tongue, and you will track its scent of flower and soil. My language is a wall with which you have imposed your language. Every stone laid viciously, our tongues struggle in an invisible surface. My tongue is life, seated cautiously through secret tunnels. Your tongue pursues me, carnivorous. My tongue survives. My tongue is life, clear water that seeks to redeem your oppression. My tongue is life. There is a peaceful sea on the other side of this wall. Don't be afraid. My tongue is life.
Pretty strong poem there.
Thank you.
Now, you originally wrote this poem in Spanish.
Yes.
And we're going to close the program today with the Spanish version. We want to let our audience know. But it really speaks to the struggle to hold on to your mother tongue.
Yes.
And learn a new language.
Yes. And I think it's very difficult to just consider the struggle that a young person goes through when he's starting to learn the first language, the second language, I mean.
Well, and you were 13 when you first moved to the United States.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Well, it was, as I'm saying, it was very difficult because not only the language was different, but the culture. And it's a long process of assimilation, of acquiring the new ideas and perspectives. When I was living in Mexico, it was more, life was very simple. I just had to worry about, you know, the basic necessities. But coming over here, I had to struggle to become something else, you know, like to fit in some other areas of my life. And especially academically, I had to, you know, struggle a lot to, like, have better grades and do better so that I could have a successful career.
Mm-hmm. Well, and now you write in both languages, mm-hmm. and you, as a linguist, study language
And we were talking earlier about that whole concept of, I mean, bilingualism means so many different things mm-hmm. when we look at that. And, of course, on the program, we're always exploring how that impacts writing mm-hmm. and the dynamics of writing. But you were talking about how it's one thing for the recent immigrant and being bilingual is something else for the heritage language speakers, those who were born with the two languages. Let's talk a little bit about that because, I mean, you're studying it, but you're also living it as an immigrant who yes. has learned a new language.
Definitely. These two groups have very different necessities. One has to incorporate in the new culture with a new life, and the other one is struggling to find one identity when the person really has two. So one, the immigrant has one identity that he wants to just keep safe, and the bilingual has two identities that he wants to construct into just one.
I completely understand that because I think in this conversation it's interesting because you come as an immigrant and I come from the perspective mm-hmm. of a heritage learner having both languages at home mm-hmm. and it took me a while to realize that I do live in two worlds mm-hmm. and I think we try to adapt to one or the other because we don't know how to jump between the two.
Mm-hmm. Adaptations are very, very important with immigrants and with heritage language speakers. And another thing that is very important are the conceptions that we have about our own language. And sometimes with heritage language learners or speakers, they struggle because they need to find one identity, and it's very difficult because sometimes the immigrants who speak like the supposedly correct Spanish are very harsh on those bilinguals who only speak it because they've heard it when they were very small. So that's a topic of my interest.
Interesting. Well, I think this is an appropriate time to stop and listen a little bit to a portion Bishop Daniel Flores, Bishop of the Diocese of Brownsville, during a StoryCorps interview recently, spoke about his own bilingual culture as he was growing up. So let's take a listen and then we'll continue.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I must say, and just kind of talking about this, how the family culture is something that's very precious, and I consider it a singular grace that part of our family culture was that it was a strongly bilingual culture. That is to say, when I was growing up in Corpus Christi with my mom and dad and my brothers and my sister and my maternal grandmother, if my grandmother was present, we spoke Spanish, and my father was very insistent that if you're going to speak Spanish, you're going to speak it well. And oftentimes, for the sake of just the family communication, you know, she was present, and then most of the, so that's why I was blessed, and my brothers and sister were to kind of be, you know, we grew up speaking Spanish, we grew up speaking English. My father was also very insistent about that. You need to speak English well, and because that's also an important thing. But you grew up in a bilingual home, and a language is a world, and so in a certain way. We were blessed with kind of being able to inhabit two worlds, a world that expresses itself in Spanish and a world that expresses itself in English. And though they were one world that we grew up in, you were aware that there were certain topics that you more likely were going to speak about in Spanish, and there were certain topics you were more likely going to speak about in English, just depending on what the... there was no rule book for that. It just happened. Well, for example, if you were going to talk about... If you're going to talk about politics, if you're going to talk about sort of the cultural things that were happening in the United States, that was almost always in English. What was happening in school, when we would come back from school, and it was spontaneous. You would come back from school and, you know, my mother or father would ask, well, what did you learn at school today, or what did you do today, or did you play football or baseball or whatever during the course of the athletic program or whatever, and you would you heard it that way, and so you spoke it that way, and it was kind of a natural thing. On the other hand, questions of faith and religiosity were often spontaneously spoken in Spanish. Prayers were often spoken spontaneously, but also. The family memory was conveyed to us, I think, largely in Spanish, because that was the language it was lived in. Mm. That was the language it was lived in. And And it was, the older we got as kids, of course, you know, you go to school and your friends are mostly speaking English. And for the most part, we were, you know, you didn't have a lot of opportunity to speak Spanish at school, even in it just, it was not heartily encouraged. Let me just put it that way. But I was always grateful to be able to go home and just, and to hear, Spanish spoken in a familial sort of way. And that was certainly true. Now, it's true here in the Valley. One of the reasons I love the Valley so much is that it's a more naturally bilingual culture. And again, that bespeaks different worlds that kind of are able to kind of coexist in a place in a comfortable way. The Valley, the two languages coexist very comfortably here. One it's not a competition of languages. It's a blessing because people have a sense that they have a wider set of language tools to describe life and reality in the Valley. And that's because the Valley is, of course, marked by the reality of the border, which is the same way Zapata, Laredo, and all the towns that go up the Rio Grande River. And here, I could be anywhere, and because being the Bishop of Brownsville, I tell people I live more in my car than anywhere else, and because I'm constantly visiting, the four counties, Brownsville or McAllen or San Juan or Rio Grande City, all the way up to Roma, and you can start a conversation, in one language and end it in the other. It just depends. Oftentimes, I'm called to give speeches or discourses in a public setting, you know, banquets and things like that. And it's almost always expected that the speech will be in English. But then as soon as you go down to start shaking hands with people who are there, the immediate greeting, which is a more familial greeting, is in Spanish. It's almost as if the Valley maintains a sense that Spanish is a more familial and hospitable way to kind of greet somebody, but the more formal discourse. It's a very complex dynamic. I wouldn't try to dissect it here, but it is an important element, and it still exists. You know, you go to Laredo and places like that. It is, I think, an important sign that of the value of language, and I do encourage the children here in the Valley, because I talk about education a lot and the need to go to school and stay in school, is to not to be ashamed of knowing two languages, because I think sometimes, I don't know where it comes from, sometimes our kids kind of are a little bit embarrassed, but they shouldn't be, because it's a great blessing to be in a world where two languages are spoken, and that they should learn them both well, because there's a tremendous cultural heritage in both languages.
And you write in English and in Spanish, not just to speak it.
Yes, I do. I do like to write. And it depends. It's interesting. It's a spontaneous decision. It depends on what the topic is as to whether I will first write the thing in Spanish or first write it in English. If it's the topic, you know, obviously if I'm writing about something, a public position of the bishops of the United States on one issue or another issue, I may spontaneously think it in English because that's the discourse. But then again, there may be other topics. If I'm talking about religiosity, about the faith of the church, about if I'm talking about just family relations, I think sometimes when I write, it's the first what language am I thinking that thought, and then it kind of begins and works that way. But I do encourage the young people to stay in school and to learn English well and to learn Spanish well. As I say, because it opens up many worlds.
Was there ever a time in your life growing up, Bishop, when you felt, you mentioned earlier that some people might feel the shame of knowing both languages. Was there ever a time in your life when you felt that way growing up?
Not really so consciously. You were aware, though, growing up, that you really were not to use Spanish when you went to school, even talking to your friends. It was not, you know, and it was just not something that was encouraged. I guess it was the unspoken thing, and that's I didn't feel it as an embarrassment or anything like that. I did feel that I needed to spend growing up a little more time studying Spanish, because the Spanish we learned at home was an oral spoken, and I must say, Spanish of very high quality. I mean, I think sometimes we underestimate the quality of the Spanish that's spoken in the northern of Mexico and the south of Texas. But the fact is that it did not receive a lot of formal training. So at the appropriate time, when I was old enough, I like language, and so I made an effort to study the grammar. It helped, to be perfectly honest, and I got this encouragement from my grandfather to study Latin. And so I still have my grandfather's 1875 Latin-Spanish dictionary. He encouraged me to study Latin, and I think my love for language helped me to kind of make the extra effort to kind of work on the grammar, because it's one thing to know a language in a spoken way; it's another thing to kind of be able to kind of get inside of it a little bit and see how elastic it is to express things. I have studied other languages, but never as in depth as I've you know made the effort in either Latin or in English or in Spanish.
Well, Rossi, as we heard the bishop say, he was one of the things that really caught me was how he talks about that a language is a world. Mm-hmm. And the beauty of growing up in a bilingual culture was that it was that ability to cross between the two. It was like living in two different worlds.
Yes. Yes, I find that very interesting too, and especially because the culture becomes so rich and you have so many possibilities and so many opportunities when these two languages are developed. And I really like the diversity linguistically that the bilingual Spanish and English speakers provide to the field.
Right. Well, and as writers, I think, and the bishop mentions it, you have more to draw from. Mm-hmm. There's more tools to find how to express something that needs to be said.
I think you also experience things differently when you're living with these two languages. You can, for example, use some words, you know, because they represent or they sound differently to you, that they carry so much more meaning than just a simple word.
Well, and Rossi, one of the things that we're finding with a lot of writers is that they are incorporating the two languages mm-hmm. in the work, that the code switching, and some refer to it as Spanglish, some refer to it as code switching. How do you define it as a linguist?
Well, The terms that are being used with literature or in the study of bilingualism are sometimes very harsh because sometimes they carry a negative perspective. I personally don't like to think of code switching poetry or code switching styles as something more than just poetry. It's mm-hmm. a way that the individual expresses him or herself. So I will consider it just code switching. You know, you're switching between two codes that you manage, that you know how to express in that language.
It goes back to what the bishop said about the language as a world. So it's living in the mm-hmm. two worlds and crossing back and forth comfortably. Mm-hmm. And I know that in your poem that you just read earlier, The Two Tongues, you talk about language as a wall.
Yes.
But I think, too, now, as a writer, as a creative spirit, you see it not just as a wall, mm-hmm. but as a pathway.
Yes. It definitely has changed. I mean, with this poem, I try to emphasize the different stages that an immigrant goes through when he or she first enters this new array of feelings and forms and struggles, but definitely has become a pathway, and it is something that I treasure a lot, you know, being able to experience things in both the languages. And I also work as a translator, and being able to use both languages has been something that has helped me develop within my writing.
Excellent. Let's talk a little bit about risk. Because when you are incorporating multiple languages in your work, it's also a form of exploration, kind of going beyond the norm, in other words.
It is a risk within poetry to be using and experimenting, but I think that's the whole point of the creative process, to enter yourself into new experiences and just cherish them as the uniqueness that you carry within you.
Mm-hmm. And then, too, we speak about audience, because in selecting the language, too, you're also selecting audience to some degree.
That's definitely true. And actually, when I first started writing, it was only in Spanish. And I think it was very direct. You know, my message was, I'm writing for the Spanish readers or Spanish speakers. But now that I'm finding myself discovering all these new possibilities within the languages, you know, my shift has been very beneficial for me.
Excellent. Now, as a linguist, what are some of the things that really interest you as well about language? I know that we talked earlier about the experience of how language is determined by the recent immigrant and mm-hmm. the heritage learners, but...
Well, what interests me the most is that difference, but not to make a separation between the two groups, but to address the different necessities that they have. For example, the heritage language speakers need to be treated almost as native speakers, because they have that that background, that linguistic background. And the recent immigrants, they need more, let's say, motivation, you know, an ideal, something to look forward to.
So again, a lot of it's really an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
It's an opportunity to expand oneself.
Yes, sometimes for the recent immigrants, language becomes a wall. And by giving them the tools necessary to adapt to this new environment, we give them also a lot of possibilities.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Bishop said something very interesting when he was talking about his own bilingual upbringing, was that there was... the determination of when to speak in English and when to speak in Spanish, or when to even write in English, he pointed out that with his own family, that it was the family memory was conveyed mostly in Spanish because that was the language it was lived in.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that in your writing when you were deciding which language to write in? That it depends on your experience?
Well, to me, it definitely was. And not only the language, but also the topics. In my writing, I touch on immigration, on language a lot, because it's something that is deeply rooted within me. So, yes, the language and the experiences that the language creates around us definitely impact ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So you said earlier that you for a long time you were writing only in Spanish,
mm-hmm.
but now you are diversifying in
yes.
And and how did that transition occur?
It was very difficult, actually. I just read an English poem for the first time not too long ago, and it was very emotional for me. It was I almost broke into tears, because it was something that I was hoping to do one day and longing to do one day, to express myself in a different language. And even though it was possible, the transition, it was something new, something difficult, and it was very relieving for me.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about translation,
mm-hmm.
because there's some writers who will not translate their work, but you chose to translate your piece, and we heard the English version. How does the process impact your writing? Does it almost become a new poem, or are you able to keep a lot of the meaning? Because a lot of times when I talk to people who translate their work, el sentido, the meaning changes ever so slightly in the translation.
I think so. I think it gave more strength to the poem, because in Spanish I was talking to the English language, but I was talking in Spanish, so now that I'm talking in English, it's like almost confronting the English language.
With its own language, the English with the English.
Yes, so it's like a contraconquista.
Well, let's listen to the Spanish one.
Las dos lenguas. Mi idioma es una pared pintada de obsesiones blancas y negras. Es una pared alzada en un desierto. Aquí también hace mucho frío por las noches. Por el día se detienen a descansar algunos tristes pájaros. Mi idioma es una pared alzada sin fin, cuya sombra cae sobre mi sombra. Es una pared de huesos con coyunturas profundas por donde pueden verse las extensiones de mi realidad buscando verte desarmado. Pero no ves tú ni la pared, ni los huesos, ni el desierto. Ajenos a ti son los pájaros tristes, mismos que son origen de mi idioma. Para ti no existe nada más que tu lengua, esa criatura fría que se adueña de todo territorio. Una lengua agria que no conoce otro comienzo que su propia descendencia. Para ti solo existe tu lengua viperina, lengua de serpiente que ha buscado acorralarme desde el día que llegó a mi tierra y comenzó a construir sobre mí esta pared que me ahoga. Tu lengua es la serpiente que busca por las calles, en las leyes y en las escuelas encontrar mi lengua para cercenarla, para arrancar de tajo el único pedazo de mí que germina con el dulce canto de mi madre. Busca serpentina mi lengua errante, mi lengua de necesidades básicas, mi lengua sumisa que simplemente busca una humilde tregua por las tardes. Esas tardes que tu lengua siente que también son suyas. Buscas mi lengua para arrancarla, para colocarla junto a todas las otras lenguas que has arrancado. Mis hermanos ya no entienden mis canciones, no reconocen mi mano que sujetó su mano por siglos enteros, y no puedo gritarles porque mostraría mi lengua desnuda y vulnerable y seguiría su olor de flores y tierra fresca. Mi idioma es una pared con la que has impuesto tu idioma. Cada piedra la colocaste con saña. Nuestras lenguas luchan en una superficie no visible. Mi lengua es la vida, que siembra cuidadosa por túneles secretos. Tu lengua me persigue carnívora. Mi lengua sobrevive. Mi lengua es la vida, arrullando a hijos y hermanos. Mi lengua es la vida. Agua limpia que busca redimir tu opresión. Mi lengua es la vida. Hay un mar de paz al otro lado de esta pared. No tengas miedo. Mi lengua es la vida.
Rosy, thank you so much for joining us today. We've been talking today to Rosy Lima Padilla, a poet and linguist from here in the Rio Grande Valley. Thank you, Rosy.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure to be here.
You are listening to Corazón Bilingüe. We invite you to join us again as we continue our conversation on language, culture, and the art of poetry. Los invitamos que nos acompañen de nuevo, mientras que sigamos explorando la dinámica del lenguaje, la cultura y la creación poética. If you would like to hear more, visit us at www.corazonbilingue.com. Gracias por acompañarnos.